Good morning and welcome to the Tao of June, living an inspired life. Actually, I'm not sure if it's morning for you or not, and recording it in the morning while I'm driving to my client's house. Got a little time here, so I'm going to just record some of my thoughts here during this coronavirus epidemic, right? This pandemic. Oh, sheriff just drove by. Good thing I wasn't doing anything illegal. Anyways, the pandemic's going on. So here in Georgia, as of today, there are over 34,000 confirmed cases. 34,000. Now, I know that there's some talk going around that these numbers are inflated or they're not really reliable, things like that. But I mean, it just, at least it gives us an idea, right? At least it gives us some measurement of what's going on. And we're in the tens of thousands in Georgia. In the U.S. alone is like 1.38 million. It's like 1,381,060 people, to be exact, I guess. Well, I mean, even that, you can't be exact, but over a million people in America. Isn't that crazy? Oh my goodness. What is going on? I watched this movie called Containment or Contagion with Lawrence Fishburne and Matt Damon. Gwyneth Paltrow was in it. Lots of great actors were in it, but man, it was eerie. It was really kind of spooky how similar things are. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Even the death scenes, it was crazy how similar it was, seeing the body bags lined up. Crazy. Doctors among them, you know. Oh, man. And then I saw this movie called The Day the Earth Stood Still with Keanu Reeves. He plays a alien named Klaatu. What if Keanu really is an alien? You know, like even his name, Keanu, and the alien character he plays, the name is Klaatu. Klaatu. Anyways, it's like this alien race, this superior race. Of consciousness, I guess. These conscious beings, are saying that we've reached a tipping point and they have to step in order to save the planet Earth, because we're destroying it and we won't change. We're too stubborn and destructive, and you know, we're unwilling to change our lifestyle and change, you know, who we are, how we live, in order to save the planet. And he's saying that they tried to reason with us, and they tried to intervene, and they tried all these things to get us to, you know, wake up. And they're saying that it's too late now. They have to step in, destroy the human race, so that they can save the planet and let this planet rebuild. And I was like, wow, like, what if, you know, this coronavirus, you know, is like nature kind of striking back, you know, maybe not the aliens or anything, but you know, what if this is like, I don't know, because they're showing pictures, and I don't know, because I haven't been there, I didn't see it with my own two eyes, but you know, the channels in Venice, you know, those canals, you know, the waterways, they're saying it's all clean, and there's dolphins swimming in them now. And they're showing pictures of, you know, all sorts of places, landscapes all over the world. How, like, before and after the coronavirus, how just, you know, within a couple of months, how different the Earth looks when humans aren't there to destroy it. The environment, you know, we're destroying our own environment. And it's like, wow, I don't know. It's just something to think about, right? And I was watching the Joe Rogan podcast. He was talking with Tim Pool, and Tim Pool made a really interesting point. He was saying that what if like, you know, when we make nature documentaries, like puffins, for example, or when we go study penguins or any kind of animal, we use decoys a lot of the times, so we can get right up close to them without scaring them off, without spooking them, you know, and that way we can make better observations, study them in their natural habitat, you know, just behaving naturally. And he was saying that if we do that with lesser beings here on Earth, what if aliens are doing that with us? And we've already come in contact with aliens, but we wouldn't even know it because they were decoys. You know, they were using decoys. And I was like, wow, like, oh my goodness. You know, what if we do have, like, alien decoys walking around among us? And, you know, like, shoot, working with us even in your office, you know? Like, what if one of your coworkers, you know, the strange, awkward one, what if he's an alien, you know, or she's an alien? Decoy, I don't know. It's just weird. And, you know, another interesting point that he brought up that got me thinking was that he was saying that, you know, a lot of people are saying that this pandemic, the governments are using it to form like a new world order, you know, the NWO, new world order, the like one government to rule the whole world, you know. And he, Tim Pool was saying how it might not be a bad thing, because maybe that's what the aliens, if there are alien races out there, you know, beings that are more intelligent than us, higher level conscious beings, and they have the ability and technology to travel through space, you know, at the speed of light, you know, they can travel through different galaxies and things like that. That takes a lot of engineering and ingenuity, right? Innovation. I mean, they have to be intelligent. And that means that if they do have, and there's, I mean, I think it would be a little stubborn or ignorant, or, you know, a little closed-minded to think that that's just not possible, that there's no other beings out there in this huge universe. So let's just say that there are, and they have this, like, galactic federation, you know, and they have rules of engagement, kind of, right? And it's civil, and it's, you know, they meet, and they have civil discussions and debates, and that's how they make laws and rules and things like that. He was saying, with here on planet Earth, what if they're waiting for us to just all come together as one planet under one government, you know, and that way that we can be entered into this galactic federation of other, you know, conscious sentient beings, you know, other planets, you know, all over the galaxy. That way, because he was saying that right now, if we were entered in, who would they deal with? Do they deal with Russia? Do they deal with the UK? Or here, you know, do they deal with the US, the White House? You know, which government, China, North Korea? Which government do they deal with? You know, who would be, you know, chosen as the one to, you know, the UN maybe, the United Nations? But I mean, you know, I don't know. So I was just thinking, wow, that's interesting to think about, you know? Like in that movie, the Day the Earth Stood Still, these beings are watching us, and they're trying to get us to change our ways, not be so territorial, you know, these territorial apes that happen to know how to use electricity, you know, and speak a language. And so we think that we're better than these primates, but yet we behave like primates, you know, a lot of the times. There's a book called Chimpanzee Politics or something like that. Was it Chimpanzee Politics? I think so. Or Ape Politics. Yeah, I think it was Chimpanzee Politics. But it's a book that my friend let me borrow, and it's fascinating how they show pictures and examples and how the manipulative game, the power plays that you know, that they play. It's interesting. And that's what we have right now in the White House, I think. You know, chimpanzee politics. You know, all about, you know, the team mentality, us versus them. You know, I don't know. But what if the alien races are waiting for us to evolve beyond that and realize that all of these material things, this car that I'm driving right now even, is adding to the pollution of our environment, you know? Like, everything we're doing, we don't have to do it this way. You know, like, we have the technology to make electric cars. We don't have to use fossil fuels. And I'm driving a Corolla, you know, it's pretty good on gas mileage, but still I gotta fill up the tank, you know. It takes about 9-10 gallons. but you know, I don't know, like, maybe it'll be our next generation. Maybe it'll be our children, like my children, who, when they're our age, and they're the ones making decisions, and they're the ones in charge, you know, maybe they're the ones that are gonna be the one that turn things around, you know, like, just kind of rethink the way we're living. Is it worth it, you know, to destroy the planet? You know, what good is money when you have no planet to live on, you know, or people who are sick, you know, like this virus going around, people aren't going to work. And if people aren't going to work, there are no goods and services to buy. Even if you want to go to the restaurant and eat, they're closed. Some of them are closed for good. So if there are no people working, what good does having all that money, you know, it does you no good, because there's no services or goods to buy. You know, I don't know. It's interesting. What if, because my friend and I, back in my college years, so this is what, like over 20 years ago. Yeah, wow, about 20 years ago. Anyways, we were watching a documentary called Earth 2 about how the plan, you know, that NASA and other organizations around the world are working on together is a joint project where they attach thrusters onto a giant comet or asteroid and guide it into Mars. That way there will be an astronomical explosion, you know. It'll be like a nuclear level explosion, and it'll create a huge mushroom cloud. And that cloud, their planning is going to wrap around the planet, causing rain, precipitation. And they're saying that they have proof that there was water on Mars. And this is common knowledge at this point. But they found those little blueberry-looking bubbles and stuff. So basically, Mars used to be covered in water, and it used to be a lush planet. And they're saying that because it once did have water on the surface, it could hold water again. And so once they have this atomic bomb explosion caused by an asteroid or comet that they guide into the planet, then there'll be rain and water. And once there's water, they're gonna have genetically engineered plants shot into the atmosphere, into the water. That way it'll jumpstart the ecosystem. And once they have trees and plants and vegetation, you know, plant life, then they'll have breathable air, and they'll have atmosphere. They'll have a living planet again. And they're saying that in the meantime, they'll have people, you know, shuttling in a big rocket to Mars. And they'll be the first to colonize the planet. And they're saying that it'll take a long time to get there because it's so far away. So during that time, the planet, the plants and everything will be growing. So by the time they get there and land, they'll have a beautiful planet full of, you know, plants and trees and water and lakes. So that was the plan. And in that documentary, they were saying that these scientists were saying that this is all doable now. They were saying we have the technology for all of this now. This is not science fiction. This is not something that we're talking about as a sci-fi movie in the future or something. They were like, this is all things that we can do right now, and we're working on it right now. And that was about 20 years ago when we saw that documentary. So who knows? I mean, maybe they're already working on this and they just haven't told the public. Who knows? But I remember my roommate, you know, I mean, we were both stoned. We were in college. We were in Athens. Anyways, when in Athens, you do as the Athenians do. Anyways, he turns to me and he says, dude, what if we have the technology to do this right now, what if Mars is actually Earth 1 and we destroyed that planet and with all our technology and everything, and we came here to Earth, you know, to Earth, we did that to this planet, and now we've gotten to the point where we're destroying this planet and we need to go back to the original planet, and so we're doing it again. And so what if Mars is actually Earth 1, the original Earth 1 we're going back to, and this planet Earth, what if this is actually Earth 2? You know, what if this is actually the second planet that we moved to from Mars? And I was like, oh, wow, shoot, you know? But if that is possible, right? If that's possible, that we were once a species that lived on Mars. We were originally Martians. And that's why there's evidence that there was life there on Mars before. Well, maybe not life, but it could have sustained life. There was water. Anyways, maybe that's why there's evidence of that, because we were once on Mars and, you know, our technology and everything, maybe we just, you know, burned up the atmosphere like we're doing to this planet. And it burned up the planet. But before that happened, we had the technology to make this planet livable. Or maybe it already was. And we already kind of knew about this planet as a backup, but these giant dinosaurs. So we caused the comet that destroyed the dinosaurs, you know? The asteroid that came and crashed and destroyed all the dinosaurs. What if we were the ones that actually did that? You know, so that we can make this planet livable, because you can't live on this planet with a bunch of dinosaurs living on it. And then we come and settle here, and we say, we will not tell our children, our grandchildren, we will not pass down this technology to them. You know, we've came here because we destroyed our planet with all our technology. You know, we've proven that we can't control ourselves, right? And let's just live the, you know, a simple life, a peaceful life. And, you know, so what if that's why we have like these giant pyramids and everything? Because we had that technology before, but they didn't really pass it down to us, you know? But now we're coming back to the point where we're, you know, figuring it out again. You know, we're discovering, you know, we're taking off the cover. You know, finding all this information out again, becoming technologically advanced, and then now we're about to go back to Mars, our original planet, because we're destroying this planet. Oh man, interesting. But I don't know, who knows, right? I'm just talking out loud. It's not like I really believe all this stuff, but it's interesting to just talk about and think about, right? And I don't know, I think that to dismiss it and just say that, oh no, that's, you know, that's just stupid, that's ridiculous, you know? I don't know, I mean, it is far-fetched, but I don't think it's entirely impossible, because I don't know. Like my roommate said, if we had the technology to do this now, what's to say that we didn't do this before? You know? And we're just kind of flip-flopping, switching back to the original planet. I don't know. But if there was ever opportunity offered to me, you know, do you want to be one of the first to go to Mars to help colonize the planet? You know, I would say, can I see a picture of the women first? I'm kidding. I don't know. I mean, am I kidding, though? Because, you know, would I want to be stuck on Mars with a bunch of, I don't know. Not to be superficial, but attraction's an important thing, right? Physical attraction. I don't want to be, you know, stuck there with a bunch of, like, busted, you know, looking like my grandma, you know? Like, I don't know. Oh, shoot, you know? I don't know. Not that my grandmom's unattractive, you know? It's just my, you know, she's passed away. I don't want to talk about her like this. I was just using it as a like an example, but anyways, what if, oh man, but you know, if they were like super hot women there, I would say, oh, okay, how many other men are going, you know, and what do they look like, you know, what are my chances? I don't want to be like the loser runt, you know, left the only one not mating, you know, the only one not reproducing, helping repopulate the planet, you know. I want to do my part. But I don't want to be the most unattractive person there, and so nobody wants to mate with me. So anyways, this is getting complicated, right? Well, I'm getting close to my client's house, so let me go ahead and end this so I can get in the right mind frame, the right state of mind, right? So I can go ahead and do an awesome groom on my client's dog. Do excellent work that I'm proud of. Oh, here's my mantra. I'll give it to you guys. I got it from... what's her name? She was on The Secret. Anyways. She was the black lady with the... Oh, man. Anyways. Here's the mantra. I do excellent work in an excellent way. And I give excellent service for excellent pay. There's my mantra. I give it to you. I do excellent work in an excellent way, and I give excellent service for excellent pay. Thank you so much for your time. I honor the light in you that's also in me. Namaste.